Aloha and welcome to the Hawaii Family Forum Triple F Podcast. Triple F stands for Faith, Family, and Freedom. Hawaii Family Forum has worked alongside the faith-based community in Hawaii since 1998. Join us today as we continue to work toward a Hawaii where God is honored, religious freedom flourishes, families thrive, and life is cherished. Aloha, everybody. I am Eva Andrade. I'm the president of Hawaii Family Forum, and I'm privileged and honored to be sitting today with our very first ever executive director of Hawaii Family Forum, Kelly Rosati. Hello, Kelly.
Hi, Eva.
How are you doing?
Aloha. I'm doing well.
Do you want to tell everybody what you're doing now before we get into the nuts and bolts of Hawaii Family Forum's great history?
Well, sure. I went from Hawaii back over here to the mainland, and I'm in Colorado Springs at Focus on the Family, where I am the vice president of child advocacy.
You're still doing that which you always loved to do. That was such a big passion for you. For those of you that are joining us and maybe don't know who Hawaii Family Forum is, we are a nonprofit educational and research organization that's been serving the people in Hawaii since 1998. That's right, you heard me right. In 2018, we will be celebrating 20 years of serving the people in Hawaii. Kelly, can you believe that? 20 years.
I really can't believe it. It's just astounding, and time marches on.
Well, we're going to be having a big event on July 14, 2018 with you as one of our speakers, and of course your boss, Jim Daly, coming from Focus on the Family. But before we talk about that, let's go back a little bit, and I just want to share with our listeners some of the great work that Hawaii Family Forum has done. And I want to, you're going to laugh, Kelly. You know me. You know I like to research. And so I went back to look up some great things.
Oh, no.
This is awesome. So let's go back to the beginning of Hawaii Family Forum in 1998. When you were first hired, you came on board in 1998, correct?
Correct.
Do you have any memories of that whole process of saying yes to Francis Oda, who was the president at the time?
Oh, do I have memories? because before I said yes, Francis and company said no to me. And it's a story we've all laughed about so many times. But the board of directors was sure that they knew what they were looking for, which would be a retired, older Kama'aina man to really be the voice of Hawaii Family Forum. And so when this blonde Howley from the mainland got off the boat and came to them and said, I think maybe this is something I could do, it was all Francis could do not to laugh. He was very polite when he said, and I understood, you know, I don't think that's really going to work. Things are a little different here, and okay, I understood that, but I then was pretty quickly hired on at HMSA. I'm a lobbyist and lawyer by training, and so just was thrown into the legislature representing HMSA for a little while, and I would keep in touch with Francis and company. And then as the Lord would have it, I just kept running into different board members of Hawaii Family Forum. And after this went on for a number of months, I finally got a call that said, why don't you come back in and let's discuss this again and see if maybe this could work after all. And so that was how I got started at Hawaii Family Forum.
And your starting was definitely one that was not an easy one, right? Because 1998, there was a big issue happening, and there was a lot of confusion in the community about a constitutional amendment question. So that was kind of what you jumped into. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was right getting into it from the jump. It was the issue of same-sex marriage. And the people of Hawaii at the time were not at all confused about what they thought about same-sex marriage, but they were, as you just alluded to, Eva, very confused about the language of the ballot amendment or the ballot measure. And so at Hawaii Family Forum, what we did was simply engage in an educational campaign to help people understand that if they voted yes, it meant a certain thing, and if they voted no, it meant a different thing. And that was really what the people needed, because they knew how they felt about the issue at that time. But nobody understood which way they should vote based on the confusing ballot language. And so that's where we focused our efforts. And that's actually where Hawaii Family Forum first began to work so closely with the Diocese of Honolulu. And back it was just a wonderful partnership and collaboration of really combining our collective voices on behalf of Hawaii's children and families, and really also being clear that when we did that, one of our primary distinctives would be the way in which we did it, and that we wanted to make sure that the way that we did these things conveyed the love of Christ for every human person, including those with whom we disagreed. And I have to say that that is probably the thing I am most proud of about Hawaii Family Forum, is that no matter what the issue was, we always understood that every person was loved by God, and that how we interacted with that person as we were doing what we were called to do was something that was of primary importance. And so I would say that all got started way back then.
You know, what's exciting is I wasn't working with Hawaii Family Forum at the time, but as you alluded to, I was working for the Hawaii Catholic Conference. So of course we had that partnership working together. As I remember, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't that the year that there was the least amount of blank on the constitutional question? I think that there was some kind of I will go look this up, and I definitely will not put this in here if it's not true, but I believe that there was a very low blank entries on the ballots. People really understood yes meant no and no meant yes. And I was really proud of the effort that, the educational effort that we put into the community. So,
well, and what was so significant about that was, is that if you left it blank because of confusion, it actually counted against the traditional marriage cause. And that was something people weren't aware of. And so that was also part of our educational directive.
That was one of the first successes of, well, that was the first success of Hawaii Family Forum. And I know Hawaii Family Forum was, I believe, the first organization to run ads in the newspaper about that very issue. Am I correct?
I don't remember exactly. We certainly were among the first. There were lots of other folks doing great work. But I do remember one story that always sticks in my mind. And you know that's a big deal because I don't remember a lot of things now that I'm an old lady with four kids. But I always remember we needed to raise a lot of money for this educational campaign. And I, in fact, came to the mainland right here to focus on the family, to meet with some foundations that were interested in what was happening. And just made the plea and made the pitch. And, of course, that year, Hawaii and Alaska both were the first states to have the question on the ballot. And didn't know how it was going to turn out. Just came here, made the relationships, discussed the issue, and then came back. And I remember very specifically, there was a time where we needed a specified amount of money to fulfill the plans that we had for this educational campaign. And the reality was we weren't anywhere close to it. And I really, you know, back in those early days as the new executive director, I really wasn't sure what we were going to do because we didn't have the money. And I will never forget a check coming in the mail. And the person, the foundation that had sent the check, had started to write it for a certain amount and actually hand-crossed that amount out and wrote a different amount in. And the different amount that was written in was precisely the amount of money that we were short for that campaign. And it was a lot of money, particularly at the time. And I just remember that being such a faith builder, that what we were doing was not really about our agendas and what we wanted, but really was serving the common good, and that we were just so grateful that God was a part of this and was the center of it. And that was just a really sweet reminder. I think it might have been $25,000. It was a big amount, and it was handwritten out on that check.
So that's the message we will leave you listeners with on this first of our podcasts in the time capsule of Hawaii Family Forum. If you want to hear more of the work we've done, please visit us on our, or listen to our next podcast that we will have coming up very shortly. And I will try to put links to these things on this page so that you can run with us back through time. And Kelly, thanks for being with us. And we'll be right back with another great issue.
Sounds good.
Aloha, everyone. This is Eva Andrade. I'm the president of Hawaii Family Forum, and I'm once again here with Kelly Rosati, who currently is the vice president of child advocacy at Focus on the Family. But she was also the very first executive director of Hawaii Family Forum, and we're doing these little time capsules of issues that Hawaii Family Forum traced. So, Kelly, thank you for being with us again.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so we last time we talked about a great educational effort that Hawaii Family Forum did. Another strength that Hawaii Family Forum has always had over the years is to bring a coalition of people of diverse backgrounds together. And in 1998, Hawaii Family Forum partnered with the Hawaii Medical Association to do a wonderful thing. You want to talk a little bit about the Hawaii's partnership for appropriate and compassionate care?
Oh, sure. This is something that I feel most proud of in terms of what we were able to do. This was way back when, and it's still happening, I think, to this day for y'all in Hawaii. The folks that are concerned about end-of-life care wanted to legalize physician-assisted suicide in Hawaii. And, of course, we were very concerned about the implications for that, particularly on the most vulnerable in the community, elderly folks and those who were depressed and people with disabilities. We're very concerned that there would be a push to have those folks really believe they should just get out of the way and move on with life. And of course, we're all about the dignity of every human life. And it was just not something that we could sit by and let happen in wonderful Hawaii. And so we also knew, though, that if we were going to succeed in stopping physician-assisted suicide, that, as you said, Eva, we really needed to bring a divergent coalition together. And so we did go and partner not only with the Hawaii Medical Association, but with the Hawaii Nurses Association, with hospice providers at the time, with the disability rights community. And all of us had very different perspectives on lots and lots of issues. But the one thing we were all very clear about was that Hawaii could do better than legalized assisted suicide. So not only did we come together to say we need to oppose that, we need to educate legislators and the public about the dangers of it, why it is not good health care, but we also said we can't just be about saying no. We need to be about improving end-of-life care. We need to address the reasons why people think they want assisted suicide in the first place. We were all very passionate that people at the end of life should never suffer in untreated pain. We were very passionate that people at the end of life should have access to palliative care and that they should, in fact, die death with dignity. But we agreed with the people who tried to say that that was the issue. Where we disagreed was that physician-assisted suicide was necessary to have death with dignity. And so we got to work together with those folks, and I'm glad to say that for many, many years, by very close calls and close votes, we were able to keep physician-assisted suicide at bay. I'll never forget even one of the first years where it was very unclear whether Hawaii would become only at that time the second state in the nation to have legalized assisted suicide. And as most of you probably know, much of what happens in the legislature is theater. You know the outcome before it actually unfolds. But this was a very different situation. Nobody knew what the outcome was going to be on the physician-assisted suicide vote. And so we were all working as hard as we could and praying. And there were proponents that were so sure that it would pass that I got a call from, at the time, Tom Brokaw's television producer from the NBC Nightly News, who wanted to have a comment from me after about Hawaii being the second state to legalize assisted suicide. And I always remember being so happy, obviously, that we didn't go that route, but to be able to call back and say, no, we didn't become the second state to legalize it. And as a result, I firmly believe there were many vulnerable people whose lives were protected and who ultimately ended up receiving better end-of-life care because of the work that we were able to all do collectively to advance the common good and to uphold the dignity of human life.
Now, what a lot of people may not know is the effort for this issue came up because of the governor's Blue Ribbon Panel on Death and Dying. Do you remember that? Not only did they want to legalize assisted suicide at the time, there was also an outright push for direct euthanasia.
That's right. I actually had forgotten that. And as soon as you said it, I remembered. You're exactly right. They did recommend both assisted suicide and euthanasia, which again, back at the in the day, back at that time, was extremely radical and not something that was being considered really in any way as a part of mainstream healthcare delivery. Unfortunately, probably on many of the issues we're going to talk about today, things have deteriorated and gotten even more difficult, and this issue is among them. But it was a wonderful thing to be able to hold back policy that would have, in fact, directly jeopardized the lives of our most vulnerable citizens in Hawaii. And the thing about assisted suicide that I think ended up kind of really tipping the day for many legislators at the time was, you know, if you make a mistake, there's no going back.
And I think people understood that there would be not much of a way to implement such a system without making mistakes. Most people know somebody who was told they didn't have very long to live that is still with us. And so, the dignity of life went out.
Now, of course, we still are fighting that issue in Hawaii, as you know, and thanks to all our listeners and our pastors who got involved, we were able to hold it back for one more year in 2017, but as we look forward to 2018, we know that this battle isn't going away. But before we close on this issue, I was actually at one of the chamber discussions with Kelly when one of the senators, who we won't mention any names, but they actually acknowledged that the bill itself would have some issues. Do you remember, Kelly?
Ah, yes.
And what was this wonderful statement made?
That there will be mistakes and people will die, but this particular senator went ahead and voted for it anyway. And that was... it was really shocking at the time to hear that there could be that level of callousness toward the loss of life. But I want to go back to what you just said, which is that here it is going to be 2018, the next legislative session, and there still is not legalized assisted suicide in Hawaii. And that is kudos to you, Eva, to all of your listeners, to everybody who has been a part of Hawaii Family Forum, who has said we're not going to go there and has worked together to make sure that that doesn't happen. So that's a good job.
And absolutely. And kudos to you for setting up the Hawaii's Partnership for Appropriate and Compassionate Care that is still around. And if anyone listening would like more information about the Hawaii's Partnership for Appropriate and Compassionate Care, please visit them at hpacc.org. Or just look at the link right here on this page where this podcast is available. And we will be together again very shortly on another issue. Thank you so much for listening. Mahalo. Thanks again, Kelly.
Mahalo.
Aloha, this is Eva Andrade, president of Hawaii Family Forum, and we are pleased that you were able to join us on this weekly Triple F podcast. We hope you'll join us next week. Take care and God bless.